In the first reading today, we hear from the wise man of the Old Testament that the Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. Now we listen to that, and then we hear about how God hears the cry of the poor. We look at somebody like our Blessed Lady. We listen to St. Paul in the second reading and all that God had done for him, and we would say to ourselves, it sure looks to me like God has favorites. And we have to be able to understand what's being said. First of all, what Sirach is saying is God will listen to everybody. And just because someone is wealthy or powerful, as opposed to somebody who is weak or somebody who is poor, that doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is what is in the heart. What is important to God is the love that we have. That's what he's looking at and what he's looking for. And so whether one is poor or wealthy, whether one is powerful or weak, it doesn't matter. He's looking at what's in the heart. And so it is in that way that we see that he shows no favorites. We even see that in the gospel reading where we would have to naturally say, well, look, we've got a Pharisee that is there. That would be one of the Lord's favorites, wouldn't it? This is somebody who's very religious, somebody who is very clear about practicing his Judaism. And yet we hear that this man, because of his pride, went home not justified. But the tax collector, who would be rejected in society, would be considered kind of low life, although very wealthy probably, nonetheless, somebody who isn't honest, and yet he walked home justified because he was humble. And so we begin to see that, again, God shows favoritism in the sense of those who are humble, those who are charitable, but not favoritism in that he would accept one over another just based on social situations. In other words, if both of these men in the gospel reading were humble, they would have both gone home justified. But because the one thought himself better than somebody else, he didn't. If God is going to look at both of them with the same charity, then that's the way we have to learn how to look at people. In other words, if God is going to look at the Pharisee who tithes and who fasts and who practices his faith, and he's going to look at him objectively, and he's going to look objectively at the tax collector, and both of them come before the Lord, and both of them pray, we see that God is going to favor the prayer of the tax collector. Not because he's a tax collector, because again, by nature, you'd think that God would have rejected him. But instead, it's because of the humility that was there, because of the charity. The Pharisee is rejected because he thought that he was better than other people, when in fact, none of us is. You might make more money than someone else. You might have a more powerful position. You might have a fancier house or a fancier car. That doesn't make you a better person. And it certainly doesn't give anybody a right to look down on anyone else. Why is somebody the way that they are? Why is somebody poor? Why is somebody weak? We don't know. And it's not ours to judge. And it is certainly not ours to think that we're better than that person because we have more money or because we have a more powerful job or whatever it is. Because that's not what God's going to be looking at. God looks at each one of us as a person made in his image and likeness. And when we look at the fact that God shows no favorites, God is calling each and every one of us to be a saint. Everyone. He wants all those people who haven't seen the inside of a church for years to be converted and to be saints. And if one of those people who hasn't seen the inside of the church for years were to walk in here and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, God will have mercy on that person because they're a sinner. But if you or I were just to kneel before the Lord and say, thank goodness I'm not like this person. I go to Mass every week and I'm trying to live a good, holy life. And boy, I'm better than this one. God's going to say, no, you're not. Where's the humility? We're at Mass, number one, to love God. That's why we're here. But also the recognition of our dependence on God. Not that we're better than somebody else, but rather that we are dependent on Him. We need Him. That's even what St. Paul recognized as he's talking to Timothy. He says, my first appearance in court, everybody abandoned me, but the Lord stood by me, and He strengthened me. St. Paul recognized his dependence on the Lord. And because he recognized his dependence on the Lord, God could work through him in powerful ways. So in that way, we can say the Lord favored St. Paul, not as a person, but because St. Paul allowed the Lord to work in him. If we're willing to open our hearts, if we're willing to be humble and allow the Lord to work in our lives, then he can do extraordinary things in us. In that sense, we would be favored. Not because we're better than someone else, but because we are trying to love the Lord, because we're trying to be humble, because we're allowing the Lord to do something in our lives to try and touch the lives of others. That's where the favoritism comes in. Not that we're being played favorite, but because we're allowing Him to be able to work through us. Preeminently, of course, we see that in Our Lady. At every instant of her life, she allowed God to work through her. She loved God as perfectly as she possibly could at any instant of her life. She was the most humble human person ever to walk the face of the earth. And what's really amazing is when you think about the fact that she was chosen by God to be the very mother of God Himself, not even once in her entire life did she think that she was better than somebody else or higher than somebody else. Never did she look down on them. And even when her son was being crucified, never once did she even think a wrongful thought about those people who did that to her son. That's why she was favored the way that she was, because she allowed God to work in her life. So now it's our turn. Obviously, we're not going to be anywhere near where our Blessed Lady was, because she was without sin from the first moment of her life. We can't say that. But what we can do is strive to be humble, strive to be charitable, strive to allow God to work in us, in each one of us, because we each have a different personality, because we each have different circumstances. God is going to work differently in each one of our lives. Maybe you have a gift of being a very outgoing person who can talk with others easily. Maybe God's going to ask you then to go and talk to people. If you're more introverted, maybe God isn't going to do that to you. He's not going to say, hey, you have to go out there and start talking to all these people and it'll drive you crazy and wipe you out. Maybe instead He's going to say, we want you to pray. We want you to be able to spend that time in deeper prayer so that you can pray for those other people who are talking to others, so that the grace will be there for them. Although it's interesting because, again, God has that very dry but very funny sense of humor that He will usually ask us to do the thing that isn't natural to us to do, which is why perhaps in religious life what they have recognized is that introverts actually can't be hermits. The only ones that they will allow to be hermits are the extroverts. Now that sounds totally contrary to nature. And then what does God do? He takes the introverts and he asks them to go out and preach. It's like, this doesn't make sense. It's all part of his providence. So don't assume that you know how God's going to work with you. Because he knows what's the best for you. If what's the best for you is to put you in a situation that isn't what comes naturally to you, because you actually have the ability to do it, but you don't know that you do, well, then that's what he's going to do. And he's going to say, now let's develop this. So let him lead. Let him show you how he's going to make you into a saint. Again, when you read the lives of the saints, you will notice all the differences that are there. None of them became a saint the same way. And so none of us is going to either. Yeah, there are general things. Maybe he wants you to work with the poor, or maybe he wants you to go out and evangelize, or maybe he wants you to pray, or maybe he wants you to, you know, work and study and write books, or whatever it might be. He's got different ways of making people saints, but each one it's going to be unique to that particular individual. So whatever gifts and abilities he's given to you, let him work with them. But humble yourself. Because again, when we look at all of that, and we look at all the saints, and we can say, oh, look at all these great saints. The saints aren't going to look at one another and say, I'm a better saint than you. No, they're all in heaven, praising God. None of them thinks that they're better than the other one. They praise God for what each one was given because they see the goodness in it. And they thank God for what he's given to them because they see the goodness there. So whatever gifts and talents he's given you, yeah, maybe it's more than what he's given to another person in that area. That doesn't make you better than the other person. Just means you have talents in this area that are better than somebody else. But then you look at somebody else and say, yeah, but look at, they can do that that I can't do. Praise God. And so that person's going to become a saint by using those abilities. You're going to become a saint by using your abilities. God isn't going to show any favoritism. He's calling every one of us. And he's going to give the grace to everyone. And if one is considered to be a favorite of God, the only reason for that is because the more we open our hearts, the more of the grace that we can receive. He's giving every single one of us an infinite, abundant amount of grace. And we can only receive as much as our heart is open. So if your heart is open an inch, well, that's how much grace you can get. He's giving you massive amounts, and all you can receive is an inch of it. If your heart is open a foot, then you can receive a foot worth of it. Even though he's giving a massive amount, and you can't receive it all, but you can receive way more. So then it appears that God is playing favorites, because look, that person got 12 inches worth, and this person only got 1 inch worth. It's because this person's heart is open to receive 12 inches worth. So that's what we want to keep doing, is just working to get our hearts open more and more, which means to love more and more, to be more intent on doing the will of God rather than doing our own will, and to be humble, praising God for all things rather than to think ourselves the masters of this or better than someone or whatever it might be. These things are not easy for us. But God likes a challenge. And so he's picked people like us because we're a challenge for him. Not that we're actually a challenge for him, but we're a challenge. We all know that. So maybe God wants to just look at the devil and say, you know what? You thought you had this one. Watch what I'm going to do with him. But that means we have to cooperate. God has chosen us, not because we deserved it, not because we were better than anybody else. usually because it's just the opposite. He couldn't find anybody worse, so he picked us. So we need to be humble, and we need to be grateful, and we need to let him work. Are we willing to open our hearts? We heard that the prayer, the lowly is going to pierce the clouds, and it doesn't rest until the Lord responds. That's what we want to be able to have. That means we have to be lowly. Doesn't mean we have to be poor. That doesn't mean we have to be out on the street. It means we have to be humble. It means our heart needs to be humble so that we can turn to the Lord. We can depend on the Lord. We can love the Lord. That's what he's looking for from each one of us. That's what we see in St. Paul. And St. Paul himself tells us that he was an arrogant man. That had to get beaten out of him. And it will out of us too, if that's our problem. So the more humble we can be, then we can be just like St. Paul. He allowed the Holy Spirit to work in him in extraordinary ways because he was able to get out of the way. It took a lot to get him out of the way, but he eventually was able to. And then God could do wonderful things. You know what? God can do wonderful things through you and me as well if we are willing to cooperate, if we're willing to allow him to do it. So he is calling you to be a saint, no less than any of the great saints in the history of the church. The question simply has to do with our heart. Are we willing to do what he's asking us to do? Are we willing to be humble? Are we willing to be charitable? Are we willing to strive to do the will of God?